Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am Chris or Chameleon, one of your hosts here, and I have with me my other two hosts. I have Devin or Darkness Tiger.
Hey, that's me.
And Mason of Rad Dreams Review.
It's a Mason.
What is going on,
fellas? I had to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I appreciate it. That was a good intro. It's a me, fellas. It's a me, your cousin, yes. Nico.
Yes, yes. It's not me, Chris Pratt.
Oh, God.
I'm taking every voice actor's job.
It's funny that you say Chris Pratt, because me and I presented a theory to my coworker.
All right, what is this?
And I was reading this article, and it was talking about Chris Pratt as well as the other main character from Jurassic World Dominion. I don't remember her name right now. I want to say Dallas Bryce Howard, but I could be wrong, about how he got paid significantly more than her. And in the comments, the questions, basically people were saying, well, he is a bigger financial draw than her. And I asked a coworker, if it wasn't for already established movies, would Chris Pratt be big? And I said the answer to that question is no.
I agree with that. That's not a hot take.
I agree.
Yeah, because like, if it wasn't for Jurassic Park and obviously the Marvel series, what would we know Chris Pratt for, being the guy from Parks and Rec?
I wouldn't even know him from that, because yeah, I've never seen it.
I never watched Parks and Rec.
Well, that's where he comes from. I think he's very funny there, but I don't think he's funny as an actor.
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not my cup of tea, but that was just my thing. I am back from Brazil. I am so glad to be back in the wonderful state of Ohio. Good to hear from you, both of you guys.
Yeah, yo.
So obviously, as we get into our first segment, we always kind of talk about what we've been doing and up to this last week. Chris, since you missed last week, what have you been up to?
Trying to think. Really been up to the same games. I guess I am still playing. All right, so let me start this back. Well, this past weekend, I went on a little weekend getaway. So I went to Atlantic City, New Jersey. And so on the way there, I was playing the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
Nice.
I've gotten through two episodes so far.
Objection. So
on to the next. Yep. Objection. That, honestly, that game is wild to me.
That like the game needs to be like adapted into a freaking anime.
It is actually. Right? They have an anime. Yeah.
Yo, nice. Hell yeah.
I was looking into it and I found it. I don't know how many episodes it is. It might be pretty short, but I'm definitely gonna watch it one of these days.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch it too.
So yeah. I was playing that. I also finally I had one of these days, like I think it was last week or the week before, I had to do a little babysitting. So I took my Switch again, and you wouldn't believe the game I finally beat.
So it's on the Switch.
Mario Tennis. Yes.
No.
Mario Backgammon.
Mario what?
Mario Backgammon.
What the hell is that? Is that real?
No, it's not real. Is it a Mario game?
No, it's not a Mario game. It's a real sport.
is it Monster Hunter?
No, but I do have that on the Switch, but I haven't beat it. Nowhere near it.
I have no clue.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah. You did say you beat Zelda Breath of the Wild. I forgot that you mentioned that. Yeah.
Well, yes. Now my question is this the first Zelda game you've beaten? Because you have a tendency to get lost.
I've beaten Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Nice.
Those are the only ones I've finished.
I've only ever finished Twilight Princess.
I wanted to finish that one because I really like the art style.
Great art style. Why didn't you finish it?
It was on the Wii, if I remember correctly. And when we were playing it, I don't remember what happened, but I just never, I liked the Wii, but I was at the time, I believe I was playing something else. I was probably playing Gears. It sounds like it was around that time period. So So I was probably playing Gears and just, you know, you knew how I was with Gears.
Oh yeah.
So it probably just, like, I played it here and there, and then it probably just fell on the back burner. And then the Wii went out of, like, decommissioned, and then I just never picked it back up again.
No, that's fully understandable. Now, beating this most recent Legend of Zelda game, was it everything you expected it to be?
So I thought the boss fight was actually going to be harder than it was.
Okay.
And, like, it was hard, kind of, like, just a little bit. But, like, once you figured it out, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then I actually did not like the, like, how they ended it. It was very anticlimactic for me. I wasn't a big fan of it.
Gotcha.
You know how, like, sometimes you get, like, an ending and you get, like, 15, like, 20 minutes of, like, dialogue?
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, oh, yeah, this is over. That felt good. It yeah. wasn't that. It was I swear it was only like 5 minutes, and it was like, it wasn't even a good 5 minutes to me. It was just like, oh, you've done the thing. This person's gone. Yeah, that's it. It felt bad to me.
It was like an Animal Crossing ending.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess what's cool though is once you beat it, you can still explore around and do whatever you want after that if you have like temples and stuff that you didn't beat.
That's always a plus. Also, a quick devotion to accuracy report: Gears of War and Twilight Princess actually came out at the exact, almost at the exact same time, just less than 2 weeks apart.
That's what happened.
Yep,
Gears happened.
Gears of War came out first, November 7th, 2006. And Twilight Princess came out November
19th, 2006. Yep. So it got overshadowed. I promise that.
100%.
Well, Mason, what's been going on in your world? What is new with the Rad Dreams review?
Let's see. I finally posted up a video about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Love it.
Finally did that. Because we talked about it on the podcast, and that's been getting some good traction. Then in terms of gaming, haven't really been able to do a lot of it. I did download Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, the remake for PlayStation, because it's free on PlayStation Plus at the moment.
Nice.
So I downloaded that. I do plan on playing it eventually. It's in my library, succumbing to its position in my backlog.
Yep.
My forever backlog. But other than that, my weekend was pretty busy because it was Labor Day. So I did some volunteer work with my union for Labor Day.
Oh, cool.
And that was a lot of fun. Did an auto show. So that was a lot of fun. Got to see the very first Ford van that was ever assembled in person. So that was really cool. Some dude brought it and like showed it off. I was like, that is really dope, dude.
That is epic.
Yeah. And then some other notable cars that were there was a 1977 Ford Mustang, one of my favorite years for the car. And then somebody brought a GTO, which is my favorite car.
Expensive.
Yeah. That is my dream car. Is a fully outfitted like GTO. That would be amazing to own someday. Maybe for retirement.
You said it was a 1977 Mustang?
Yes.
As a car guy, Mason, I hate to inform you that was the worst Mustang ever.
Really?
Yeah, that was the Ford Mustang II, which had like 100 horsepower at maximum.
Well, it's a nice looking car.
It's nice, but as a car guy, I can't let that just go.
That's fair. That's fair. So in terms of performance, it's not the best.
It's a very nice Mustang.
That's what I'm getting. It's nice to look at. It was nice to look at. But yeah, more Vampire Survivors. I watched all of Sandman on Netflix, and I'll be talking more on that in our review segment.
Awesome.
Very, very nice.
Then other than that, just been watching anime, just seasonal anime. So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, what I've been up to in my realm, in Brazil, where I currently like stay when I'm at work, I really can't leave or go anywhere. And the reason being is because my hotel is not located within walking distance of anything interesting. And because where my hotel is located, I also cannot just get an Uber and Uber back. It's very unlikely to happen. So my entire time spent in Brazil was actually coming home and either watching Netflix or video gaming and then going to bed. But since I have been back, if you follow me on the Uninformed Gamers page at Twitter, you will know I actually posed the question. And the question was, this week I will attempt to watch three shows, She-Hulk, Lord of the Rings, Ring of Power, as well as House of Dragon. Has anyone seen these? Does anyone have any thoughts on these?
I have not seen any of them.
I haven't seen any of them. Just one thought. The Lord of the Rings is the most expensive show ever created.
Yep, sure is. And I can see that.
And that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I don't know how Amazon's going to recover from this financially.
Yeah, I will never recover from this financially.
Hashtag Tiger King.
Yep.
But I actually was able to watch all three shows. I'm mostly caught up. I have one more episode to watch of House of Dragons. I can tell you now, it's not really much of a review of my thoughts on them, but we'll wait to the review segment, either or. And then I actually finished a video game on my backlog, Road 96.
Is that one that recently came out? It's kind of like, it plays kind of like a movie.
It's very similar to that, but it's not. You're thinking as Dusk Falls.
Yep, you're right.
Yep. It's very, very similar because I actually booted up As Dusk Falls this weekend. And like, as I'm looking at the entry screen, they look almost identical.
Okay.
Road 96 is where you actually play as a fugitive teenager trying to get across the border to escape a tyrannical government. Wow. Now, what makes this game very exciting and very interesting is that it is, it's basically randomly generated, the story in which you're being told. You have a limited amount of scenarios, but you have four characters in which a random scenario can happen in any given moment. So every time you play through it, you'll get a completely different scenario than the last time. And for me, it took, I don't think for just for me, I think in general, it takes about six people crossing the border before you finish the game. And it's very, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love a walking sim, as Chris calls them. walking some, but it was such a narrative based game that I really appreciate it because it's really a social commentary on politics as we see today. Now, obviously we're not a political podcast, nor am I going to get into that, but it was refreshing to see like worst case scenario, here's the reality we're going to face. Each character that you come across is fully fledged out. Each character has a backstory that you really want to need to dig deeper to understand. It was a very good game that after I played it, I went back, did New Game Plus, got my last two achievements, and I quit out. But the question is am I going to delete it off my Xbox? Because normally I like to keep certain games that really hold true to me on my Xbox so people can play them when they come over.
That makes sense.
For me, Turning Test was on there for a pretty long time. And I think I'm actually going to keep this one downloaded. I think I'm going to move it over to like the SD card.
Gotcha.
But it was so well that I think if you want to come over and play a very well narrative-based game, this is the one.
Okay. That's dope.
Yeah. So that was my main week. But let's go ahead and get into our first topic. Now, I have had a tendency to say things where I need to put my foot in my mouth. Maybe I'm being petty.
I don't think you're being petty.
Well, no. Maybe I think that I probably shouldn't have said that. Well, me and Jim Ryan apparently have quite a lot not in common.
I was just going to say, Devin, like, you want to talk about petty.
Now, the reason Jim Ryan is in the news, I don't know if you guys heard this. This might be news to you guys. Microsoft is trying to buy Activision Blizzard.
Yes. Which we've talked about this like probably almost every podcast since it's been announced.
Yeah, but if
almost
you're
a year.
Yeah, if you're a new listener, this is a new thing. If you've never looked in the news, Activision or Xbox, Microsoft trying to buy Activision Blizzard only for a couple dollars. It's mm-hmm. been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, just
not many dollars.
Just write a check. I think Microsoft just like pulled out pocket change, just threw it at them, and they picked it up off the ground. but when a company such as Microsoft were to buy Activision Blizzard, what do you think that would mean for Activision Blizzard's games going forward? Where do you think they would exist?
Exclusively in Microsoft ecosystems.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now, I think that that is 100% right. But if you have Activision Blizzard, who is literally makes Call of Duty.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that because Call of Duty is such a massive creature, a massive ecosystem, that you should continue allowing that to be multi-platform, or you come to recognize people are really only going to buy consoles just for this one game?
Okay. Can I go first? I got some real thoughts on this.
Let's go into it.
All right. So there's two things with that. So they very well could buy it and make it exclusive, even though Call of Duty is like the best-selling game ever. Like, it's the best-selling franchise ever. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. Like, if you were to add it all up. No. Yeah. If you add up all the games, every game in the franchise, you add up all those different copies that have been bought of that. It's not even close. I don't even know how many copies that would be. It would be an astronomical number. And then it has always been multi-platform. It has always been multi-platform. So, Microsoft buying Activision means that they, of course, create a premium for that because Activision knows that that IP is worth a hell of a lot of money. Now, you're thinking as Microsoft, you're like, well, we could keep it multi-platform and we'll still rake in just as much as we normally have. Or hear me out here. Or we don't. And this forces people that are like, let's say, console players. Oh, I got to go buy me a Series S if I want to play Call of Duty. So now, do I think that the amount of people coming over from that have just been PlayStation gamers that just play Call of Duty, do I think it could be a sizable amount of people? Yeah, I do. I think it could actually be a hell of a lot more than we're thinking. Because let me tell you right now, just about everyone that I know that's in the military or has been in the military plays Call of Duty. Yeah. I don't know why.
They grab a Dodge Charger and play Call of Duty. That's the two things we know.
And as you know, like, the United States blows a lot of money into the defense budget. So there's a lot of active military, retired military. There's a lot of them, and they all, I swear to God, play Call of Duty. And if you told them that the only way that they could play their Call of Duty was either on PC or Xbox, I guarantee you they're going to pick one of those paths and go play it there. Now, like, Microsoft, the second thing is with Microsoft would really have to decide which one's more beneficial to them. So if they keep their game multi-platform on PlayStation gets 30%.
Right.
So every game that's sold on PlayStation, like either disc or digital, I think disc or digital. I'm not sure exactly about that. But I know they get a 30% cut. So if they were to just straight up just take it away from them, PlayStation is going to lose a sizable amount of change.
Okay. Mason, what is your thoughts on the exclusivity of Activision Blizzard just for Microsoft solo? Before we get into Jim Ryan.
Yeah. All right. So my thoughts on this are a little bit similar to Chris's in a way. So I do think that the deal will go through. I think it's just a matter of time. Secondly, in terms of the exclusivity of the Call of Duty franchise, like Chris said, the game is already multi-platform. So when the deal does go through, that I'm predicting it will, I do think that Microsoft should keep it multi-platform, because if they don't, they risk segmenting the market, and they risk also angering a lot of the fan base even more so if they already have not, because if you make a game that is as popular and successful as Call of Duty exclusive console for the Xbox, then you're really just kind of shooting yourself in the foot, because when the deal goes through, Microsoft and Sony should work out some sort of arrangement. Like maybe Microsoft pays Sony something for, you know, Sony to keep it on their console, or you know, some sort of like, hey, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine sort of thing. That would make the most sense, because so many people love playing the game on PC. They love playing it on Xbox. They love playing it on PlayStation. So why shift it back to a console exclusive and just really disrupt your fan base? That's kind of like my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I get that.
I think we're all pretty much in universal agreement as to what this deal should look like. Well, thanks to the Sony Entertainment CEO, Jim Ryan, we found out specifically how this deal is actually going to take place. And we found out Jim Ryan's thoughts on said deal. So once the acquisition, again, the acquisition is not finalized. We believe it's going to be finalized, but yet it's not yet finalized. This can all still fall apart. Anyhow, once the deal eventually does go through, Microsoft, specifically Phil Spencer, reached out to Jim Ryan. He's like, hey, here's our plan. We will keep whatever contract you have in place about Call of Duty. We'll keep it in place. But once that contract ends, once we have it, we will allow Call of Duty to be on y'all's multi-platform for 3 years, because we have no reason to keep it on your platform after that. Jim Ryan said, well, we think this is inadequate. And I just find that this comment to be just, this is what's wrong with Sony. You are so blissfully unaware in which the realm you exist in.
Yes, yes, they are, 100%.
Y'all have been paying Square Enix to keep games off Microsoft. Y'all have been buying exclusivity, timed exclusivity, just so you can keep things from off Microsoft. Y'all have been paying companies money not to put stuff on their Game Pass. So when Microsoft is just like, hey, the best I can give you is 3 years, you're actually going to look at them and say, that's just not good enough for us.
That's slime.
That shit reminds me of like Pawn Stars or some shit. Just like, the best I can do is a penny, dude. Like, I don't know if you want, I don't know what you want me to say.
Jim Ryan wanted to bring in an expert.
Yeah. Hey, he didn't. Yeah, hey, I know a guy, you know. Give me a couple seconds.
Right. Jim Ryan looked at Call of Duty and was just like, I don't know a whole lot about it. Let me get an expert.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Expert says this is an inadequate deal. But I know it may be an inadequate deal, but Microsoft paid almost $70 billion for it.
Yeah, it can do whatever the hell it wants with it once it's theirs. I mean, we are straight out just like, I don't know, we're doing a lot of conjecture here. We have no fucking clue what they're going to do with that IP once it is theirs.
Have no idea.
But I did have thoughts on that. If I was Microsoft and I wanted to figure out the best way to make this deal, I would just have one Call of Duty live service that is multi-platform. We sell it back to Sony, but I will work on having my team actually build specific Call of Duties just for Xbox. That way you have a reason to have this exclusivity, and you can also keep it going for the Sonys, and you can keep making that money back.
So basically you want the Warzone, which is what, like, it's like the Battle Royale for, yes, Call of Duty. You want Warzone to stay multi-platform, but then the the mainline game that they come out with once a year, that one to stay exclusive to Xbox. That's an interesting one.
But I want them to get rid of that once a year thing and do it
every single year. Yeah. Please stop. That once a year
thing proved not to work.
Yeah. Please stop that garbage. That would be interesting. I don't know. I think that could work because that Warzone is free to play. So mainly they just get the money from whatever random stuff you buy on their shop and everything, the battle passes, stuff like that. Yeah. So that could work out. I mean, I could see that working.
Or you can just literally just make a, hey, we're going to make a Call of Duty game. This will be like our once every 3 to 4 year thing. And they can put in, it's just a straight multiplayer game. There's no story behind it. They spend 2 years just building the perfect multiplayer, and you actually sell that back as an actual thing, like they would do with a mainline series. Because let's be honest here, most people who play Call of Duty have never touched the storyline.
I used to love the story. I don't know.
I thought the story was great, but that there was a statistic that shows, I think it was like 70% of Call of Duty players never touched the single player story mode.
Yeah, my girlfriend's definitely a part of that statistic, without a doubt. I know fact she hasn't touched that story mode. She does not like the dialogue.
See, I'm like the opposite when it comes to like Call of Duty games. I actually enjoy the story.
I think the story's great.
Like, I think it is too.
Well, I remember this one where you're like, you're in, I want to say, I believe it's Russia, actually.
Was it Black Ops?
Yeah.
Was it Black Ops?
It definitely could be. It's either Black Ops or Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Because the story mode that I remember most vividly is the one, I think it was either Black Ops 1 or 2, where one of the characters was named Mason. And they're like interrogating him, and they're like, what do the numbers mean, Mason? What do they mean?
That's hysterical.
And since that game came out, people were just like, what do the numbers mean, Mason? Come on.
I vividly remember, like, there's this one mission where you're like in this like courtyard between all these like it looked like apartment buildings.
Yeah.
And
Modern Warfare 2.
Okay, cool. Yep, that one. Like,
that's my favorite one.
Yeah, that one's story was top tier, in my opinion. And then, it might even be the same game. It might be Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one. But there's this other one where you're, like, you're crouching through the fields and, like, you have to, like, crouch under these trucks. There's a helicopter comes in. You have to kill the stupid helicopter. I think
that's the same one.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It was broken.
It was Black Ops.
It was Black Ops that you were talking about, the Mason one?
Yeah, it was Black Ops. And it was in Russia. It was in Russia.
Yay. But hey. I think the main purpose that Jim Ryan was trying to get across here is that Call of Duty is too massive. And we built a dedicated player base to this. Mm-hmm. 3 years is just not fair.
It is not.
If you're not going to have a Call of Duty competitor, when is fair?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I argue that, yes, it's massive. But you don't, let's look at this from a different standpoint. In the software industry, companies get bought out all the time.
Yeah.
It could be stuff that's been used on multiple platforms. It could be stuff that's, used on every single Microsoft computer ever. And once that software is bought, you're either going to pay a hell of a premium to use it, or you're going to come up with something else.
Right.
So I guess in the game industry, with the way that PlayStation has been playing ball, as Microsoft, I wouldn't give a damn. I would just do whatever the hell I want. You know what I mean? Like, I am like, well, if you don't think 3 years is adequate, well, that sucks for you, bro. That's what I'm giving you.
You have a point. Like, I don't have to give you anything.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the times with like contractual agreements, when you're bought out, I don't think you actually have to honor them. I think you usually choose to, as like for goodwill and for customer faith and things like that. So like they're being nice and generous with this. Yeah. Like, they could come back and say, we, this last, whatever this one that's coming out, like, this year in November, that's it. That's all you get if this deal goes through. Like, they could just say, fuck you, and just keep it moving.
Mason, what are your thoughts?
It's such a tough situation to be in, honestly.
It is. I guess I'm just more of a dick because I just look at all the history between these two companies.
Yeah,
one of them refusal to play ball.
Yeah, with, like, the other. My whole thought process is kind of in line with yours, Chris, especially when we're talking on such a monumental deal like this. Like, it's whatever is decided will change the landscape of gaming.
Yeah,
as we know it. Like, that's not hyperbole. Like, Call of Duty is that big. Like, I don't, without a doubt. Like, I don't care who you are. It is that big that whatever Microsoft and Sony decide with this game, when this deal does go through, because I think it will. I really do think that they have to be careful. They have to make sure that they don't segment the player base. They have to make sure it's available for, you know, everybody and not just people who own a Xbox. So they need to figure out a way to coexist.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't say it any better than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Do you guys want to know how big Call of Duty actually is?
Sure. I mean, it's probably probably almost $1 trillion franchise.
Well, I can do by sales. We're going to do by sales.
Okay.
So I'm going to be honest with you guys. Call of Duty is not even the top three.
Oh, really?
But
what?
It's number four.
Oh.
So number one spot goes to the franchise Mario.
Okay.
Which is consists of Super Mario, Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Sports. Any game that has the word Mario
in it. Yeah.
It's Mario. So that's
that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. It's Nintendo.
At a 760 million sales, so almost a billion sales of just Mario games alone.
That's crazy.
Number two is actually a computer game, Tetris.
Okay.
It's old.
Adjusting for inflation.
Adjusting for inflation and also mobile games. This is probably the most, like, apparently this might be the most downloaded mobile game there is.
Okay.
Because it's easy. Interesting. Everybody's played it.
Got it.
Number three, Pokemon. The entire Pokemon series.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, that one for sure.
Yep. And number four is Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
What's the number?
425 million copies the last time this was updated.
Okay.
So half a bill.
So as if half a billion, and as if every single person in North America and half of South America bought this.
Gotcha, that's crazy. Gotcha.
That's a lot of people.
Yes. So half a billion sales. That is a number for Sony to be kind of concerned about.
Well, I bet you they wish they played a little bit nicer through the years.
You know what Phil Spencer should do just to be really petty?
I would be petty. But yeah, let's hear it.
If I was Phil Spencer, I would say, you know what? You have a point. It is inadequate. We will allow it to continue being multi-platform going forward, but you have to give us Insomnia Games.
I wonder if they would take that deal.
I guarantee Jim Ryan would think about it.
That would be interesting. Like, that'd be some, like, that's like some, like some team trading in sports, like, where you trade your players. Yeah, we'll give you this guy if you give us this guy and this guy.
I feel like in this situation, it'd be a hostage situation. Like, Phil Spencer and Jim Ryan would pull up in two vans.
if he really wanted to be bad about it, he's like, okay, how about this? You get this. You get to stay a part of the Call of Duty coming out in November. After that, it's removed. unless you allow Game Pass on your PlayStation.
Oh. Shots. Mason, oh, would you be petty in any capacity, or you're just like, let's let it play out?
I'll just kind of like be that meme of Michael Jackson in the movie theater just eating popcorn.
Oh, that's funny.
that's me. I'm just here to watch the world burn, baby.
Good thing both Chris and I are not in charge of Sony or Microsoft. Would be a lot more petty.
Oh yeah. So my last word on this, before we switch to another topic.
Yeah.
So we really have to remember what Sony's done in the past with franchises.
Yep.
So let's take a look at some history here. Street Fighter 4, for whatever reason, had been multi-platform forever. Mm-hmm. Street Fighter 4 only came out on PlayStation.
Yes, it did. And it's a terrible game.
Right. I don't like Street Fighter, the newer ones.
Yeah.
But it was, it's, they've done this before. Final Fantasy, this new Final Fantasy 16, mm-hmm. PlayStation exclusive. Final Fantasy VII Remake, exclusive to PlayStation for some reason. Let's look. Oh, Fortnite. They made a developer of a game pay a cross-play tax to allow PlayStation users to play with Xbox and PC users. Okay.
Yikes.
The pot calling the kettle black.
So... me seeing how they've been doing things like this over time. Oh, there's actually one more that I can think of. Them doing this kind of crap over time. Like, I'd just be like, man, I don't even want to deal with them. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. Like,
yeah, right. Doing.
Like, there was a story that came out where they, in the court proceedings, I guess they paid for this Activision Blizzard. They've been actively playing developers to not put their games on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So I guess Resident Evil Village was supposed to come to Game Pass, but they paid some sort of fee to that studio, and it didn't come to Game Pass. So they're just like, so they're able to do all that kind of slimy shit. Why isn't Xbox allowed to do whatever the hell they want with their IP?
Nope. I 100% agree with you. I 100%. And we will see how this story is going to continue playing out. But this next story, I don't care what anyone says. Whenever there is any news about Fable, I am subscribed. I am the first one to click on the YouTube link, even if it's a virus. You can get me with Fable news. And we actually got some Fable news.
Yeah, and finally.
Finally, guess what the news was?
No news.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we're not ready to show it.
Which is good. Take your time.
At least we get something.
Well, no, I think that's the best part. It's because that currently helming the new Fable reboot is not Lionhead Studios, which was the original. Rest in peace. It is actually Playground Games, which makes the Forza Horizon series,
which is fantastic.
Very fantastic, but a racing game becoming an RPG engine seems kind of strange. Well, they've been working on it, and recently an executive, the head of Microsoft Studios, Matt Booty, basically stopped over at Playground Games, was just like, hey, let's check in on your progress. So Playground Games literally just showed them like, all right, well, here's what we've come up with. We've been working on this. We're really trying to make it as much fun as Forza Horizon is. And do you like it? And Mr. Booty said, oh, this is epic. This is the best thing I've ever played. You need to show this to people. And Playground was just like, nah, we're good.
We're not ready.
And normally when the Xbox head of studio says, hey, you need to show it, it's not really a question. It's okay, when do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Right.
Playground Games was just like, no, we will show you when it's ready. It's not ready. It's fun. It's good, but we're not ready to show it. And I think that is such a good thing.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
I love that they're comfortable talking with one of their executives like that, and like, hey man, like, we want to show it, but we want to show it on our time when it's like in a good state, a good done state.
Yeah, Playground was just like, we saw what y'all did to Halo Infinite. We're good. We're not gonna be involved.
Oh God. Too soon.
A little bit too soon. But no, I think this is refreshing because one thing that we have a tendency to see is we see gameplay, it goes silent for 5 years, and then it comes back completely different. Skull and Bones. But two references in one. But to actually have a studio say, we're gonna wait until we are ready before we think about anything, I think that's refreshing.
I think it is as well.
Yeah.
So let's switch on stories and let's talk about a console that we probably haven't talked about in a minute. Mason, do you have this story for us?
Yeah, I do. So this kind of came out of nowhere. I had no idea this was even happening. But apparently it's been going on for 5 years. Unbeknownst to us and probably quite a few others, but anywho, a Twitch streamer by the name of Ace Gamer Sam has now become the very first person to play through and beat all 296 Nintendo 64 games.
I think this is so wild to me.
That's amazing. He completed every single one and has every single one.
It's crazy.
I think the having is my problem.
Yes. And in the article by Kotaku, he started collecting retro games in 2009, and this was kind of done so in irony because he was sold just a couple of games, and He wasn't really playing them. He was just rather collecting them like any other collector. And he didn't feel like parting with them. So he just started, you know, collecting more and more and more. And then over the years, he's just like, you know what? It'd be really cool to actually play them. So he started playing them. And then it just kind of evolved to streaming them on Twitch. And then it kind of morphed into, you know what? Let's go ahead and beat every single one of them.
I wonder what game was his favorite.
That I don't know. I'm going to go off on a limb and I will say his least favorite one would probably be Superman.
Leave Superman alone.
I will not leave that game alone for the N64, dude. It's a god awful game.
Superman 64 is a cult classic.
New, but it looks like he's a really big fan of the Mario games, which isn't a surprise. You know, a lot of the N64 Mario games are very, very good. So congratulations to him on doing this. He was saying that a couple of games that were very hard for him to find. Let me pull it up really quick here, because he actually had a tough time actually purchasing and finding some games such as Clay Fighter, which is a fairly rare game, Stunt Racer, Super Bowling, Worms Armageddon, and Transformers Beast Wars Transmetal. So those are some of the games that he was saying, yeah, they were kind of hard to get for a reasonable price.
Yeah, that's, I would crazy. Imagine.
Saying that he was scared to discover games like Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic and the Secret Rings, and Sonic and the Black Knight.
What? Sonic and the Black Knight?
I've never heard of that game.
I was looking at the list. I'm like, I don't know a lot of these.
Yeah. I'm not surprised as to the motivation as for his viewers, because people like to watch other people play like really shitty video games and suffer while playing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those things for some reason. It's like getting joy out of somebody else's suffering.
Yeah. That's... Try playing the Lion King. game.
Dude, I would throw my controller because I did that in the past when I first played that game.
Ugh.
The game is so unforgiving. The platforming and the controls are just so bad.
Cancer. Just straight up cancer.
I guarantee, though, this individual who beat all 296 games, I guarantee he has got really good lung capacity now.
Oh, yeah.
He's been bowling for a very long time.
I hope after this story that Nintendo, like, I don't know, like, gets a hold of him and sends him some sort of, like, plaque or something.
Yeah, just like a little commemorative thing. Just like, be like, hey, thanks, dude, for doing this.
Knowing Nintendo, they'll probably sue him. Anywho, let's change topics and let's talk. All right. So this next cartoon, I never once got into.
I like it.
People have told
my
me.
My wife and I like it.
People have told me that they love it. People told me that it's great. I never got into it. I don't see the humor, but that's neither here nor there. The TV show, which we're talking about, and this, I'm willing to admit, this might get me knocked down a few stars on the ranking. I never found Rick and Morty funny.
Sorry. I'm kidding.
Sorry.
I got to show you this one episode. You might change your mind.
What episode?
People have told me that with Black Mirror, and I was like, this is terrible. This is awful.
It's the episode where he's in the shop of the like the useless things that if he uses them, they do like funny, like weird stuff to him.
Oh, it's like, yeah, if I. Yeah.
That one's one of my favorite episodes. I don't know why it cracks me up so much, but that one kills me.
Well, anywho,
I'm trying to remember which one I like a lot. I think it's the one where they make fun of like Voltron / like Power Rangers. I love that episode.
Oh, I remember
even
that
though it's
one.
Like one of the newer ones. I really enjoyed that one a lot. That or like the like Blitz and Chips. Or any show or any episode involving the interdimensional cable.
Yes.
Well, the reason we're talking about Rick and Morty is because they had a God of War trailer.
Yes. I'm assuming like Adult Swim or something happened. Like maybe Sony paid Adult Swim / Rick and Morty to do a commercial. I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed fun, but again, I don't find Rick and Morty funny, so I'm just like, all right, this is a trailer, I guess.
I mean, it's very weird. I will say that. Like, I came out of left field. I was not expecting it.
Same.
Yeah, and what made it even weirder, I just think this, I'm going to say that I think this one was my fault, and this was a problem on my end. But when I was watching, the words were not syncing up with their mouths.
Oh, okay. And might have been like your internet or something in Brazil.
That's what I was assuming. And I'm just like, oh, if I didn't think this was funny before, I really don't think this is interesting now. but it looks like they're getting ready to market the God. I don't think this is a movie or a video game they need to market. I don't think you need to market this. Literally do nothing and just say on a Twitter post, God of War Ragnarok will be out Tuesday and people will flood to it.
Yeah. I think it's fair. It's just one of those IPs.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, Devin. Like, God of War basically sells itself. Like, it has that name recognition.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But, so, you know, it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt.
No. Some people really love Rick and Morty, so this would be a reason for them to play it. I'm probably going to play it eventually. I got to get back and beat the first one, but then after that, we'll definitely be picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. Thank you, Rick and Morty, for making a God of War Ragnarok trailer. Did nothing for me. Chris, do you want to bring us our next story?
Yeah. So we got some exciting news on the Xbox storefront.
Yeah.
They finally have announced their family sharing. So finally, Xbox will be will allow a family sharing for up to four other people. So if you include yourself, five people can share one Game Pass subscription. So as of right now, it looks like the I believe the pricing is like $21.99 in European. So we should assume in the US it'll be between $22 to $25. So we will see how that ends up playing out. But yeah, you'll basically get Game Pass Ultimate. You'll be able to share it with four other people, like we've been like asking for. And it's only, let's say it's $25. It's only $10 more to share with four other people. So if you, and it specifies that it's not just for a household, it's literally friends and family. Mm-hmm.
I do love how Microsoft is doing the opposite of the Netflix approach. Netflix,
yeah, I do too.
Seriously. Netflix, like, do not share this password with anyone. Microsoft is like, share it with
everyone. They're just like, hey, go ahead.
We don't care. You got a Sony, sign them up.
They're like, the more the merrier. And that model worked for Netflix for a while. And then then all of a sudden they got greedy.
Yeah. Greed. But I am curious though, like, if there's any limitations, because to be honest, this sounds like a great deal, especially if you have it five does. People.
Yeah.
I will say I'm curious about the exact specifics as to how this is going to work.
Same.
Like, can only one, like if one person's online, that person's using it, and they other people can't use it. I'm just curious as to how that's going to operate. Only thing that when I first heard about this family and friends plan, the first thing that popped in my mind was when you're in college, you're doing group projects. And only one person is doing all the work, and you have four freeloaders.
That's God, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. That is this for me. Like, I'm going to keep my individual plan. Well, we talked about us all just being on the same plan. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of people, they're going to be leaving this. Like, their ex is going to have this account. They won't remember it. Yep. I'm just curious as to how this is specifically going to work once it's actually a thing.
Someone's going to front the bill.
Yeah. Gotta make them pay.
That's fucking right. But it's, so I know that it's active in two regions. It's like Colombia and I don't know the other region. I forget. But yeah, we will see how it goes. They're basically running like a trial run in those two regions.
I'm excited to look more into it. Chris Mason, if we decide to go this route, y'all want to be on the same unlimited pass?
Hell yeah.
Yep. All right. Mason, you can pay for the first one. Chris, you pay for the second month, and then the third month goes back to Mason.
That's some okay.
Uh-huh. Whatchamacallit. So that let's
seems go. Fair.
Yeah, a little bit fair. There's always one parasite of the group. So let's talk about Cyberpunk. Now, it's been a minute.
We haven't talked on Cyberpunk in a while.
No, we haven't. Yeah. We haven't, which is good because right now it's being fixed. Oh, real quick sidebar. News came out, I believe, earlier today that CD Projekt Red will no longer be developing any DLC for the former consoles. So no.
I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, yep. They're done with them.
They're done with them. They're just going to be doing technical updates, but what you get for your PS4 and your Xbox One, that's it. That was
I think that's fair. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think that that's limit. You're limited. They were limited when they first started. They're going to be limited going forward. No point in putting your time in that. But the reason we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077 is because we all got the opportunity to watch the new Cyberpunk Netflix anime trailer.
Yes.
And I have thoughts.
And I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Chris, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I have a few thoughts. Just a couple.
I'll throw my thought out there. And my thought is this. I'm not going to be watching this anime.
Okay. That's fair.
And that might be a surprise for both of you, which is fine. I'll explain my reasoning why.
Okay.
Netflix has a tendency to cancel animes.
Yes. But we don't know if it's just going to be like a one season or a two season. Like we don't know enough.
That's why I'm not going to watch it. I need to know how many seasons Netflix is going to do this for. Because if I get invested in this anime, which looks really good, by the way, looks really good. If I get involved and they cancel after the first season.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
It's a Netflix subscription.
Oh, yeah. That would be for me. Like, I got really involved with in the Invincible anime on Amazon.
Too. Yeah, and the cartoon.
Yes, yes. And if they canceled that out of nowhere, I'd be pissed.
Dude, I'd be livid, honestly.
That's how. What do they consider that? It's, since it's not an anime,
it's a cartoon. Since it's
they consider a cartoon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Invincible is considered a cartoon.
Okay. It's anime-esque, I will say that. But it isn't, yeah.
Like,
it is
same thing with like Avatar The Last Airbender. Like that's even it's like anime inspired, but it's since it was made by an American studio and made in America, it is not considered an anime, it's a cartoon.
Gotcha. Appreciate it.
Mason, what are your thoughts on this?
I am 100% going to watch this. mainly because I am a Studio Trigger fanboy. And just, I mean, the animation looks amazing. The choreography looks amazing. Like the Netflix folks just grabbed a big bag of money and threw it at Studio Trigger and were just like, hey guys, do what you do, but dial it up even more. And so I like to call Studio Trigger went full trigger on this anime. If you want to watch the trailer, do so at your leisure. It's on YouTube. I do recommend watching the not suitable for work version because it is it includes more than the cut version. But yeah, I'm super stoked. If you don't know who Studio Trigger is, they are formed by former members of Studio Gainax, which are, you know, they were a closed animation studio that worked on Fooly Cooly back in the year 2000. And this anime Fooly Cooly comprised of, you know, Gainax, Production IG, and King Records. They mainly did it as like an experiment. And then, you know, Studio Trigger was birthed from that. But other things that they worked on were like, Gurren Lagann. They also did like Little Witch Academia,
Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill. I mean, they worked on the new Star Wars Visions. But those are just some things that I can name just like off the top of my head without really looking at anything. But yeah, Cyberpunk is made by them and it looks fucking amazing. Like, I'm just so stoked.
I really love the Kill la Kill anime. So
It's very unique.
Yes.
Now, if you're curious, you can actually stream this starting September 13th on Netflix.
Hey.
Be sure to tune in, give it a watch, and give us your opinions, because we will definitely be tuning in with our thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, be sure now, to check them out.
Anyone have any last word on the Cyberpunk before we get to our review segment?
I guess my parting thought will be, as long as it's less controversial than the video game, I will be okay.
I think we'll be good, Mason. So at the end of most of our podcasts, or towards the end, we have a tendency to give a little review, of something that we either played or we watched. And this week, my review is not necessarily going to be a full review because I watched three entirely separate TV series on three entirely different streaming services, and it would not be fair for me to give a review, a full in-depth review for every single one. So I'm going to give you a gist, and I am going to rank them, and at the end of each ranking, I will give you an uninformed gamer's score for each one. So as I was flying back to Brazil, I figured, you know what? Let me download one of these three. Because Disney Plus does not allow you to download and HBO Max was not working appropriately, I actually started with the Lord of the Rings Ring of Power. Now, I am going to rank this one incredibly high. I am actually going to give this a 4.5 uninformed gamers out of 5. I was not a Lord of the Rings guy, but this show got me hooked. I am excited. I'm excited to keep going. I am fully into this. I will be watching this until the first season is done and Amazon can no longer produce the show because they didn't apparently buy the rights.
Sad. Very sad. Amazon, just throw bucks at them. They'll just throw a number. You know you can do it.
Yep. Just as I thought, trash. My next show that I watched right after that is I was feeling a little bit down, a little bit blue. I wanted just something to turn my brain off, something that I thought was going to be a little bit on the funny side, but just, it was basically a show I can be on my phone with. That was She-Hulk. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. We talked about She-Hulk not being visually great.
Yes.
When it was first announced. That's reality. Go back, listen. That's what we said.
Yep.
We did not talk about the content of She-Hulk because we're the people who kind of like say, hey, let's give it a watch before we give an opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to be giving She-Hulk a 4 uninformed gamers out of 5. When I tell you that this show is so enjoyable because it never takes itself seriously.
Interesting.
I like that.
Whereas WandaVision took me several episodes to get into, She-Hulk had me hooked on the first.
So is it more like a comedy or
it's more like a comedy. It's a comedy sitcom, not like sitcom, but it's a comedy. It's more comedy than WandaVision was.
Gotcha.
And it's willing to fill plot holes in the dumbest way possible. On the first episode, the issue was addressed. Why was Edward Norton the original Incredible Hulk?
Okay.
And when they're talking about it, the current Bruce Banner, whose name is Mark Ruffalo, his character says, well, this all happened years ago. I was an entirely different person years ago.
Mm.
And it's just little lines like that, that just, they knew who they were writing for. They knew who they were writing for. I appreciate it. Visually, it's really not that bad once you get going. It's fine.
Quick question on the She-Hulk real quick.
Yeah.
So does it explain how she comes to be?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, yep,
good. Just wanted to know.
Yep, all first right. episode. Do I think the explanation was kind of cheesy? Yeah, that's why it's not a 5. But they made it work. They didn't harp on it, and it was done. So
cool.
Now let's get to my last show that I watched, which was House of Dragons, the Game of Thrones prequel. Now, when I posed my question on Twitter, which three are the best of them all, this individual whose Twitter name, let me make sure they get the credit that they deserve, because without them, I would not have known this piece of information. This individual whose name is Up Big Boris, so I'm assuming at Maxi Boy, a Boris Johnson fan, he said House of Dragons was the best.
Hmm.
And that's pretty high praise considering I've watched She-Hulk, I have watched Lord of the Rings. And so when I got to House of Dragons, I was already a little skeptical. I was a big fan of the original Game of Thrones. It fell off. There was no way you could top this. And that was my opinions going in. And unfortunately, I have to give an uninformed gamer score of 5 out of 5.
Wow.
Really?
Holy shit, really?
Was so good. Like the first 2 episodes, I am sitting there glued to the TV. My phone is on the other side of the room. I have my snacks. I am watching. It starts off so strong. It's an actual beautiful show where Game of Thrones was kind of grayed out. You don't see that as much in the first episode. I'm 1 episode shy of the 3rd episode. In the 3rd episode, everybody is saying the 3rd episode is when shit hits the fan. I thought shit hit the fan on the first episode.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you're rating it so highly because, like, say what you will about Game of Thrones and the ending, and I would say maybe the last season, I would still argue that Game of Thrones is one of the better, like, television shows out there.
Agreed.
Just like, I agree.
Just, like, as a whole.
Yes. Yes. You know? If you look at it as a complete addition and yeah, not like just a, like based off the last package. Couple seasons. Yes.
You know,
yeah. Absolutely.
It was solid TV. You know, say what you will about everything else. It is solid TV. I mean, it dominated water cooler conversation for a reason.
It literally did all the way through.
I literally have a Game of Thrones chair.
Yeah. And it is a beautiful chair, mind you.
Very nice chair.
I have a Game of Thrones drinking glass that says I drink and I know things.
I got my dad that t-shirt.
I have that t-shirt as well.
Yeah. Nice.
And I own the entire show on
DVD
and Blu-ray.
But yes, I was able to watch all 3 shows, and I will tell you right now, I was not disappointed by a single one.
That's awesome.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, based on your recommendation, I'm definitely going to check them out.
Me too.
Yeah, so that is my reviews for you, gentlemen. Nice. Feel free. Well, Mason,
what's up?
Do you have any reviews for us this week?
Yeah, I can do like a short one since we're running a little over on time, but over Labor Day weekend, the wife and I finally got some time to watch and binge watch the entirety of the Sandman television show on Netflix.
Really? I'm seeing good things.
Yeah. And was it dope?
It was very dope. My wife, who is arguably Neil Gaiman's number one fan, she absolutely loved it. But the initial, I would say maybe first two episodes or so, she was kind of unsure about it because of how they handled certain plot elements, because they differed from the comic. But after that, it started to like grow on her and everything, and she was just like, okay, I dig it now. I dig it.
Okay.
But so I went into the show not knowing a whole lot about the comic. I never really read it. The only thing I saw was this like fan made video on YouTube about one of the scenes in the comic involving a diner. And that was like my only frame of reference for the show at all. So I literally like knew nothing.
So, I don't know anything about Sandman either. So
yeah, so I loved it. I actually liked it. I would say maybe more than her, because like the first two episodes I enjoyed, and she's just like, I don't know. But you guys would definitely like it because you like sci-fi stuff and you like superhero stuff. So would definitely recommend it. It's set in the DC universe. If you didn't know that.
Ooh, cool. I didn't.
Did not know that.
In the comic, the Sandman gets involved with the likes of like the Justice League, which is really cool.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
But in the show, you know, he doesn't get involved with the Justice League because, you know, they have to adapt it for television.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's like rights issues there, but no, I definitely enjoy it. I don't want to give too much away with my official review of it because I feel like I would spoil it.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Just know that if you like supernatural things and if you like powers, if you like kind of things dealing with myth and legends, then this is definitely the show for you.
Okay.
I actually heard that the TV series Supernatural was actually based on the original comic book. It was inspired by the original comic book.
I can definitely see that. But in terms of a score, I would probably give it like a 8.75 out of 10 uninformed viewers.
That's high praise.
That's very high. Good shit.
The only reason why I don't give it like a 9 was because certain elements could have been explained just a little bit better so that viewers who don't have prior knowledge can follow more easily. But even without knowledge of the comic or the source material, you can still kind of get what they're laying down.
All right. Very good review, Mason. Chris, do you have any review you'd like to give for us this week?
No, because I've only been watching old stuff. I'm currently rewatching The Flash.
Hey.
Okay.
I guess there's one other show I watch. It's called Fort Salem, Motherland Fort Salem. Mm. That's what it's called. It's a really dope TV show on Hulu. So the whole premise is it's about the Salem witches. But instead of it being like in a traditional sense, basically they're the military branch of the government.
Interesting.
And so every country has their own version of Fort Salem's witches, and they're guy witches, girl witches, but they go to two separate academies, except for I'm not sure about the War College. But either way, yeah, it's a really cool like change of pace on like witches, and it's one of my favorite shows because of how they portray them and like what they're what they do in the show and everything. And so like it's a female main, like, are the leads. Like, there's three female leads, and then last season there's four. But yeah, it's a really cool show. I don't want to like ruin anything about it, but I would highly recommend, like, try maybe watch a trailer of it and see if it'd be something you'd be interested in. It's solid. If I had to rate it, the first season is a 5 out of 5. I thought they did a fantastic job, like, pulling you in right in, even in the first episode. They're like, what the hell is going on here? Second season, I would say, is about, probably about a 4.5. They did a really good job again. It wasn't as captivating as pulling as that first season was. But the first season ended on such a good cliffhanger, it set the second season up really well. Third, I'm still watching it, so I don't have a good review at this moment. But it is a show I highly recommend.
All right. Well, you've heard that first here at the Uninformed Gamers. Some great TV and film recommendations. If you like what we do here at the Uninformed Gamers, please give us a like, a subscribe, and a share. If you have your thoughts or opinions or just want to connect with us, feel free to reach us at Uninformed Gamers on Twitter. If you would like to play or race against Darkness Tiger in either Xbox, it is Darkness Tiger. Or if you'd like to race me in Gran Turismo 7 on the PSN network, it is Darkness Tiger 2. Always be sure to give us a little like and follow. We appreciate it. We need that to grow into a monstrosity of a creature like Godzilla or the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
Get a kaiju up in here.
Kaiju this bitch. All right, Mace, go ahead and give your sign off.
I've been Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. Feel free to give me a follow on my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review. Very close to hitting 300 subscribers, so definitely hit me up on there. Would be extremely grateful if I could hit that milestone before the end of this year. Ideally, I want to hit 500 before the end of this year. That would be amazing. Dream come true. So please feel free to check me out.
Awesome. And I am Chameleon. You can find me on twitch.tv/iChameleonI or on Twitter at Chameleon Games. You know where to hit me up.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We will see you next time. Bye.
Peace.
Later.